This podcast is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those looking to explore classic Christianity with connected age resources, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 87. Today's episode is part one of a sermon by the 17th century British minister Thomas Watson, entitled, The Happiness of Drawing Near to God. In the course of producing this podcast, I've had the opportunity to speak about the practice of classical biblical meditation in which a text from the scriptures is considered and reflected on to gain deeper insight into that passage and how it might be applied to one's life. A real-life example of this happened to me a few weeks ago, and I thought it would be helpful to share with the podcast audience. I was reading through 2 Samuel chapter 7, in which King David expressed his desire to build a permanent house for the Ark of the Covenant, which really was the throne of God on earth. The prophet Nathan went on to tell David that he was not to be the one to build the house for God. However, God was going to build a house for David, as in the sense of a dynasty. Verse 18 particularly held my attention. The verse says, "Then King David went in and sat before the Lord." The tent which David had prepared for the Lord himself was near David's palace. I reflected on how David sought to draw near to God, not just spiritually, but in this case, physically as well. In further reflecting on this passage, I recall that there is a text in the Bible which has the sense of, it is good to be near God. Instead of searching for the passage on the Bible app from which I was reading, I chose rather to do a Google search. I found the passage which I was looking for in Psalm 73, verse 28. It reads, "But for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." In the course of that Google search, I found that one of my favorite Christian writers, Thomas Watson, preached on this very verse. I found the sermon to be quite helpful and want to share it with the podcast audience. This episode is part one of the sermon, with the remaining second part to be read in the next full episode. The following is part one of that sermon. The Happiness of Drawing Near to God by Thomas Watson. It is good for me to draw near to God. Psalm 73, verse 28. This psalm is no less elegant than sacred. It is calculated for the meridian of God's church in all times. But it is especially fit for the godly to meditate upon in times of calamity. It is entitled the Psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a man divinely inspired, a prophet, as well as one of the masters of music. It is called the Psalm of Asaph either because he composed it or because it was committed to him to sing. This holy man seems here to have a dialogue with himself concerning providence. He was ready to call God's providences to the bar of reason and inquire concerning the equity of them. How is it just that those who are evil should enjoy so much good, and those who are good should endure so much evil? While Asaph was debating the case with himself, at last his faith got above his sense. He considered that the wicked were set in slippery places, and like such as go upon the ice, their feet would soon slide. Or, like such as walk on mines of powder, they would soon be blown up. Verse 18. This did both resolve his doubt and compose his spirit. The entrance into the psalm is not to be forgotten. Truly, God is good to Israel. So the Hebrew renders it certainly. Without dispute, this is a golden maxim that must be held. In the Septuagint, it is set out by way of admiration. Oh, how good God is to Israel! What angel in heaven can express it? The Vulgate reads it, "Yet God is good," as if the psalmist had said, "Though the candle of prosperity shines on the wicked, they have not only what their hearts can wish, but more than their hearts can wish." Verse 7. And though the godly are sorely afflicted, mingling their drink with weeping, yet for all of this, God is good to Israel. Here is the fountain, the stream, the cistern. The fountain is God, the stream goodness, the cistern into which it runs, Israel. Indeed, God is good to all. Psalm 145, verse 9. The sweet dew falls upon the thistle as well as the rose. But though God be good to all, yet not alike to all, he is good to Israel in a special manner. The wicked have sparing mercy, but the godly have saving mercy. And if God be good to his people, then it is good for his people to draw near to him. So it is in the text, "It is good for me to draw near to God." Point one, here is something implied. That is, by nature we are far from God. Drawing near implies a strangeness and distance. In our lapsed estate, we lost two things, the image of God and communion with God. Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Every step a sinner takes is going further from God. The prodigal's going into a far country was an emblem of the sinner's going afar off from God. How far are they distant from God who have been traveling 40 or 50 years from their father's house? And what is worse, sinners are not only far from God, but they do not desire to be near him. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 10. They have loved to wander. Sin does not care to be near holiness. The wicked get as far as they can from God, like Cain who went out from the presence of the Lord. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. That is, the church of God, where were the visible signs of God's presence? He estranged himself from God as much as he could. He felt a building, thereby thinking to drown the noise of his conscience, as the Italians of old were wont to drown the noise of thunder by ringing their bells. Sinners think God's company may be best spared. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 11. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Let us shut God out of our company. Let him be no more named among us. A bad eye loves not to be near the sun. Let us be deeply humbled for our fallen Adam, which has set us at such a distance from the blessed God. Heaven and earth are not so far asunder as God and the sinner. The further we are from God, the nearer we are to hell. The farther a man sails from the east, the nearer he is to the west. Let us, of returning to God by repentance, say as the church, Hosea chapter 2, verse 7, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. Point 2. It is good for me to draw near to God. The text falls into these parts. Number 1. The person, me. Number 2. The act, draw near. Number 3. The object, God. Number 4. The excellency of the act. It is good. The proposition is this, that it is a great duty incumbent upon Christians to draw near to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. For the illustration of the proposition, four things are to be inquired into. Number 1. How we are capable of drawing near to God. Number 2. Where we draw near to God. Number 3. The manner of our drawing near to God. Number 4. Why we must draw near to God. Number 1. How we are capable of drawing near to God. By nature we stand in opposition to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Alienated and enemies. How then can we approach near to God? Answer, it is through a mediator. But Jesus Christ is the screen between us and divine justice. Christ is our high priest, assumes our flesh. Christ's flesh is called a veil, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. As Moses, when his face shone so exceedingly bright, put a veil upon it, and then Israel might approach near to him and look upon him, so Christ, having veiled himself with our human nature, we may now draw near to God and behold him. And as Christ makes way for us into the Holy of Holies by his incarnation, so by his crucifixion, he died to make God and us friends. The divine law being infringed, God's justice was so provoked and satisfaction demanded before we could approach to God in an amicable way. Now here, Christ, as our priest, shed his blood for our sins and so made the atonement. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. As Joseph, being so great at court, made way for all his brethren to draw near into the king's presence. Genesis chapter 47, verse 2. So Jesus Christ is our Joseph, that does make way for us by his blood, so that we may now come near into God's presence. Through Christ, God is pleased with us. He holds forth the golden scepter, that we may draw near and touch the top of the scepter. Number 2. Where we draw near to God. Answer. In the use of his ordinances. In the word, we draw near to his holy oracle. In the sacrament, we draw near to his table. In the one, we hear his voice. In the other, we have his kiss. Besides, we are also in a special manner to draw near to God in prayer. Prayer is the soul's private converse and communion with God. Prayer whispers in God's ears. Psalm 18, verse 6, "My prayer came before him, even into his ears." In prayer, we draw so near to God that we take hold of him. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, "God draws near to us by his Spirit, and we draw near to him in prayer." Number 3, the manner of our drawing near to God. God's special residence is in heaven, and we draw near to God not by the feet of our bodies, but with our souls. The affections are the feet of the soul. By these we move towards God. David drew near to God in his desires. Psalm 73, verse 25. "There is none upon earth that I desire beside you." He did shoot his heart into heaven by pious statements. Spirits may have communion at a distance. 4. Why we must draw near to God. Because he is our maker. In him we live. He has given us bodies. They are his curious needlework. Psalm 139, verse 15. "And as he has wrought the cabinet, so he has put the jewel in it, the precious soul. And surely, if we have our being from him, we cannot breathe without him. There is good reason we should draw near to him in a way of homage and observance." God is our benefactor. He crowns us with a variety of blessings. He gives us health and estate. Every bite of bread we eat is reached to us by the hand of divine bounty. Is there not great reason we should draw near to him who feeds us? Give a beast provender, and he will follow you all the field over. Not to draw near to him who is our benefactor is worse than brutish. God is the summum bonum, the chief good. There's enough in God to satisfy the immense desire of the angels. He's the quintessence of sweetness. In him, perfections are centered, wisdom, holiness, goodness. He has rivers of pleasure where the soul shall bathe itself forever with infinite delight. Psalm 36, verse 36. So that here is ground sufficient for our drawing near to God. He is the chief good. Everything desires to approach to its happiness. See the right genius and temper of a gracious soul. It is ever drawing near to God. It loves to converse with him in private. A person truly regenerate is not able to stay away long from God. Psalm 63, verse 8, "My soul follows hard after God." A pious soul cannot but draw near to God. Out of the entire love which he bears to God, it is the nature of love to draw the heart to the object loved. He who loves his friend will often give him a visit. He who loves God will visit him. The heart ascends to God in a fiery chariot of love. A gracious soul cannot but draw near to God because of the intimate relationship between God and him. God is a father. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. "Doubtless, you are our father." Does not the child delight to draw near to his father? There is no father like God for love. His children shall never lack. He has land enough to give all his heirs. He loves his children so entirely that he will never disinherit them. How then can believers keep away from their father? They do not know how to be long out of his presence. A gracious soul cannot but draw near to God because he has found so much sweetness and content in it. While he has drawn near to God, he has drawn virtue from him. Never did Jonathan taste so much sweetness when he dipped his rod in the honeycomb. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27, as the soul finds in communion with God. In drawing near to God, a Christian's heart has been warmed and melted. The Lord has kindled his sacrifice from heaven. In his approaches to God, he has had the drawings of the Spirit, the incomes of God's love, the foretastes of glory. God has given him a bunch of grapes. By the way, he has tasted that the Lord is good. No wonder, then, he is so frequent in his approaches to the divine majesty. He has found the comfort of drawing near to God. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @restorethecore. My original blog is still active. It is found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.